Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. Amen. So we're in a series here in Found Church called Limitless Living, a life with no limits. And let me remind you, this isn't hype, it's not motivational fluff, it's the heartbeat of heaven. God never intended us to live small, boxed-in lives. He's calling us to live wide, deep, and high in Him. And the Apostle Paul captures this in a powerful passage that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through to 13. And we're reading it from the Message paraphrase. It will be on the screen. And it says there, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide, open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And I love that phrase in there. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. And I really believe, church, the same could be said of us. Your life isn't small, your calling isn't small, your future isn't small, but maybe you've been living it in a small way. Held back by fear, failure, doubt, or past pain in your life. But today, I believe that God is calling us into limitless living. A life shaped not by your past or your circumstances, but by His power, by His grace, and by His promises to us. The truth is, many Christians are living limited lives. See, we let fear decide our boundaries. We let disappointment lower our expectations. And that edge of faith gets dull and the fire of purpose begins to fade. And we sing about a big God like we've been doing this morning. We sing it, but we live in a small way. This is not the life that Jesus died to give us. Paul reminds us the fences aren't from God. The limits are often self-imposed, emotional, spiritual, internal, and let me tell you, they need to break. And I believe God is saying to us in this sermon series that stop letting your fear write your future, stop letting yesterday rob tomorrow. Let me show you what limitless living looks like. And it's not about hype, it's about alignment. Aligning your life with the limitless nature of God. Found Church, I believe it's time to break the limits. The limits of fear, the limits of the past, the limits of just enough, the limits of I could never. How many times have you said that? I could never. This is your season to rise, to run, and to live fully free in Jesus. So let's lean in, let's believe for more. Let's live openly and expansively. And today, I want to talk to you this morning about limitless hope. Limitless hope. See, we serve a God who is alive, who's powerful and deeply invested in every single detail of our lives. And I want to speak to you about something we all need, not just in moments of crisis, but as a daily anchor, hope. Not just any kind of hope, but limitless hope. The kind of hope that doesn't flinch in the face of uncertainty, doesn't crumble under pressure, and doesn't vanish when life gets hard. Today we're talking about holding on to the promises of God without fear. See, in a world filled with anxiety, division and confusion, the hope we have in Jesus must shine brighter than ever before. So let's open up our Bibles and our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. So let me just give you some scriptures to set the scene as to where we're going to go this morning in this message. So the first one is from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And Paul writes there, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Or Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But the question is, though, what is limitless hope? And before we can truly hold on to the power of limitless hope, we must first understand what it is. and how it differs from the hope that the world offers us. See, hope is a concept that all of us can relate to. But the hope that we are called to live by as Christians is distinctly different from what the world offers. See, biblical hope is not wishful thinking. In the world's view, hope often represents a desire or a longing for something uncertain or unknown. It's often tied to wishful thinking and circumstances that are beyond our control. For example, we might say something like, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Or I hope I get that job that I applied for. Or if you're Alan McLean, you'd be saying, I hope at the start of this football season that Man United finish higher than fifth. They're not going to win, but he's hoping they're finishing higher than fifth. But these are just expressions of desire. They're uncertain, and they're not grounded in anything that is certain or solid or sure. However, though, biblical hope stands in stark contrast to this fleeting and uncertain hope. Biblical hope is not merely wishful thinking. It is a confident expectation in the promises of God. That's how you can describe biblical hope, a confident expectation in the promises of God. It's not a vague wish that something might happen. It's a secure, unshakable trust in the faithfulness of God and his ability to fulfill every single promise that he has ever made. See, the foundation of biblical hope is rooted in God's character. It's built on the rock-solid truth that God is faithful, that he is trustworthy, and that he never, ever changes. See, this kind of hope isn't dependent on our circumstances or our feelings. It's grounded in the eternal and unchanging nature of God. See, his promises, therefore, are guaranteed to come to pass, regardless of what we might see with our natural eyes. And limitless hope is anchored in three key things. Firstly, the unchanging nature of God. See, our hope is always anchored in the character of God. And the Bible tells us that God is immutable, meaning that he never ever changes. His love, his promises, and his ability to act on our behalf remain constant, always. The same God who parted the Red Sea, and the same God that raised Jesus from the dead, he is the same God that's still working in your life today. Same God. He's not changed. He's not changed. And then secondly, we have that sure promise of Scripture. See, biblical hope is also anchored in the promises of Scripture. And God has made countless promises throughout the Bible to his people, to us, to me, to you. And he's always proven himself faithful to fulfill those promises. The Bible tells us that all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And every single promise in God's word is certain, it's trustworthy, and this gives us a firm foundation for our hope. And then thirdly, we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. See, our hope is anchored in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit at work within us. The Spirit is our comforter, our guide, and our source of strength. He helps us to remember the promises of God and to trust in them. Even when our circumstances don't seem to line up with what God has promised, the Holy Spirit brings them back to our memory to remind us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to live out the hope that we have, even in difficult times. But why limitless? Why limitless? See, that word limitless speaks to the fact that the source of our hope is without boundary and it's without restriction. That's where our hope comes from. And it's not bound by what we can see or understand. God's power, his grace, his wisdom, and his timing are always perfect. And let me remind you this morning, church, there is absolutely no limits to what God can do. None. Ephesians 3:20 reminds us of this truth. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you know, every time I read that verse, my mind starts thinking, I can imagine some pretty crazy things. Right, I'm sure you can too. But God can do more than that. More than that. Like, it's limitless. This verse is a powerful reminder that God's ability to work in our lives far exceeds anything that we could ever think or imagine. How cool is that? It's amazing. See, our hope then is not limited by our own understanding or our own expectations. It is anchored in the infinite capacity of God. So when we talk about limitless hope, we're talking about a hope that is not determined by our circumstances. Like, your circumstances can change. Like, you could have, let's just be real for a minute. Like, this is Sunday. You could have had a takeaway last night and it might have been a bit dodgy. So your circumstances this morning are not so good. Like, because of what you ate last night. So you can't base your hope on the circumstances. Like, you can't. Like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Instead, our hope should be rooted in the unshakable, unchanging character of God and his ability to do more than we could ever dream or imagine. That's where our hope should come from. Our hope is anchored not in what we see, but what in God has promised. And that promise is without limit. So the first thing I want to speak about this morning is that God's promises are our foundation. One of the greatest reasons that we can walk in limitless hope is this, is that God has made promises and he never ever breaks them. See, we live in a world where promises are often casually and broken easily. Politicians promise change. Advertisements promise happiness. Like, Apple convinces me every 2 years, I need that newest iPhone, then I'll be happy. And then iPhone 17's come in, I want that one. Samsung's from the devil. Samsung is the reason we have WhatsApp. People promise loyalty. But how often do these promises fall short? That's because human promises are tied to human nature. And they're flawed, they're fickle, and are often limited by the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But God is not like us. Aren't you glad that God is not like us? God's promises are not vague wishes or hopeful intentions. They are divine declarations backed by the integrity of his character. When God speaks, he acts. When he declares something, he brings it to pass every single time. His word is trustworthy. His will is certain. And let me tell you, his timing is always perfect. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? See, this verse reminds us that God does not operate like we do. He does not make empty declarations or change his mind when it's inconvenient. If God said it, he will do it. Take that to the bank. If God says it, he will do it. That's the bedrock of our hope. That if God said it, he's going to do it. See, from the opening chapters of Genesis right through to the final words in Revelation, Scripture is filled with promises. Promises that are real and relevant today as the day they were first spoken. These promises are not locked in the past or reserved for someone else. They are alive and active, and let me tell you, they are accessible for every single Christian on planet Earth today, including you. Each one of these promises is like a spiritual deposit given to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to fill us with unwavering hope in our lives. So let me just give you a few of the promises that echo right through the pages of Scripture. He will never leave you or forsake you, from Hebrews. He works all things together for good, from Romans 8:28. He gives strength to the weary, from Isaiah. He heals the brokenhearted, from Psalm 147. He is coming again, from John 14. And I could go on and on and on. Every single promise is like a personal love letter from God directly to you. It's a reminder that no matter what we face, we are not alone, not forgotten, and not without hope. So I want to just spend a few minutes looking more closely at three key promises that we can hold on to if we are facing a time of trial, fear, uncertainty, and waiting. The first promise is this, the promise of his presence. Matthew 28:20 says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." See, Jesus doesn't send us into the world just to fend for ourselves. He promised to go with us, to always be with us. And that word always is worth highlighting here. Let me tell you, he is with you in your good days, and he's with you on your worst days. He is with you in the hospital room. He's with you in the job centre. He is with you on the school run. He is with you on that lonely night when you can't sleep. He is with you in every single moment of every single day. And his presence is not based on how you feel or what you might have done. How many of us lie in bed at night regretting the things we've done that day, starting to doubt whether God is actually still with us because of what we've done that day? You ever been there? But he's still there. His presence is not based on any of these things. It's based on what he's promised to us in his word. And because he is Emmanuel, God with us, our hope is never distant or detached. His presence is personal. It's present. And let me tell you, it's constant. If you're not sensing God in your life, let me ask you a question. Who moved? Who moved? God never moved. Second thing I want to, the promise I want to just highlight is the promise of power. From Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And we spent weeks looking at the Holy Spirit at the start of the year. But just let me remind you that Jesus didn't leave us powerless. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in every single Christian today. And that's not just symbolic. That's not just words. That's supernatural. That's a promise that you can live by. We are empowered to live victoriously, to overcome temptation, to witness boldly, and to walk in spiritual authority. Are you doing all these things every day? Are you living victoriously? Are you overcoming temptations? Are you witnessing boldly? Are you walking in spiritual authority today? See, this power, it's not just for pastors or prophets. It's for every single child of God, and that includes you. That includes you. You're not excluded. You're not excluded. See, when you feel weak or overwhelmed, we can lean into this promise that you will receive power. That's hope that fuels action, even in our darkest hour. And then thirdly, the promise of peace. Philippians 4 verse 7 says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, we live in a world that is absolutely plagued by anxiety, by fear, by unrest. But God promises a peace that transcends our understanding. It's not logical. It's not circumstantial. It's supernatural. This peace doesn't mean that we won't face troubles, but it means that trouble won't steal the peace that we have in our lives. That's what it means. The trouble will still be there, but you can walk through it with peace. Like a guard at the door, God's peace stands watch over our hearts and minds, keeping us steady, even when everything else around us starts to feel chaotic in our lives. Let me tell you, that is a hope that the world cannot offer. See, when your life is built on the promises of God, you are building on solid rock. Storms might come, winds may blow, but your hope will remain. Why? Because your foundation is firm. Your foundation is firm. You're not trusting in your feelings. You're not trusting in your finances. You're not trusting in your circumstances. You're trusting in the eternal, unshakable promises of your Heavenly Father. So today, whatever you're facing, whether it's uncertainty about the future, pain from your past, or pressure in the present, can I encourage you to anchor your hope and the promises of God? See, they are a foundation that will never, ever fail. And let me tell you, they are limitless in power, reach, and faithfulness. God has spoken, and let me tell you, God always keeps his word. Second thing I want to speak about this morning about hope is that fear is the enemy of hope. See, if hope is a confident expectation of good, then fear is the exact opposite. Fear is the anxious expectation of harm, disappointment, or loss. See, hope always looks forward with anticipation, believing that God is working all things together for good. But fear, on the other hand, fear looks ahead with dread, convinced that something will go wrong, that help won't come, or that somehow we'll be left disappointed by the result. Fear tries to choke out hope at every single opportunity. Fear whispers in the darkness, what if God doesn't come through this time? Fear will whisper, what if I've failed too much to receive his help or blessing? What if I'm too broken, too far gone? These are all things that fear whispers in our mind, and their questions are designed to rob us of our confident expectation of God's goodness. But let me tell you this morning, church, they are all lies. Every one of them. The truth is, God's faithfulness is not dependent upon our perfection. If it was, we would have got no chance. It's not based on how flawlessly we've performed or how consistent we've been. His faithfulness flows from his unchanging nature. He is good and his mercy endures forever. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Let me tell you, church, God's love is perfect. God's love is complete. God's love is unfailing. When we truly grasp that love, fear absolutely loses its grip on us. Why? Because love and fear cannot coexist at the same time. When one rises, the other one must fall. Fear and faith cannot occupy the same space in our lives. One will eventually push the other one out. That's why we must be intentional. We must feed our faith and we must starve our fear. But how do we do that? Well, firstly, we feed our faith with the Word of God. See, the Bible is filled with God's promises, truths that strengthen our hearts and renew our minds. See, when we fill our thoughts with His Word, fear always starts to wither, disappear. We need to feed our faith with testimonies, our own and others. When we remember what God has done in the past, we're reminded that He will always do it again. His track record, let me remind you, church, His track record is flawless. Flawless. We feed our faith with worship. See, worship lifts our eyes off problems and fixes them on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It reminds us of His greatness, His sovereignty, and His nearness. We feed our faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, from Jude 1:20. See, we align our spirit with His and our faith grows strong. See, when we're full of faith, hope begins to flourish. Hope rises when fear is silenced. When God lives, we can walk forward in confidence, knowing that God is for us, never against us. So today, let's choose faith over fear. Choose to trust in the one who never ever fails in your life. Let your hope be anchored, not in circumstances, but in the unfailing love and power of God. And you know, just let me say, too often when I meet people and they're going through a real difficult time, things are hard, or they've been upset by someone in church or whatever that may be, their first natural response is, I'm not going to go back there. I'm not coming back to church. Let me tell you, if you're not going to come back to church, how are you going to feed your faith on the Word of God? How are you going to feed your faith with testimonies when you're stuck in isolation all by yourself? How are you going to feed your faith with worship? How are you going to feed your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit amongst other people? Like, too often it's like, I'm not coming back to church. That should never cross our minds. Like, we should still be there. Regardless of how hard it is, how distant God feels, we should make this our first port of call. Be here. Be present. Let God speak to you. And the Bible is full of examples of limitless hope. So let me have a look quickly at some real biblical heroes who embodied a deep, unshakable hope in God. See, a hope that endured through impossible odds, fierce trials, and dark moments. And let me tell you, their stories are not just ancient accounts. Their faith-building reminders for us today that God is still faithful, that God is still working in our lives, even when the circumstances might say otherwise. Think about Abraham, who had hope against hope. Romans 4:18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. What a statement that is. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. See, Abraham is often called the father of faith. And let me tell you, that is for good reason. God gave him this extraordinary promise that he would be the father of many nations. What an amazing promise. What about the problem though? He and his wife Sarah are well beyond childbearing years. Everything in the natural realm screams at them that that was impossible. Decades passed without the promise being fulfilled. It would have been easy, understandable if you like, even for Abraham to give up. But he didn't. Instead, Abraham chose to hope against hope. That means even when there's no visible reason to keep hoping, he did. He just kept on hoping. He anchored his faith in the God who gives life to the dead, and calls things that are not as though they were. That's the God we serve. His circumstances didn't define his faith, God's word did. Then in due time, Isaac was born, proving that no promise from God will ever fall to the ground. Abraham's story reminds us that hope can defy logic when it's rooted in the one who is limitless in power. Or think about Joseph, who went from the pit to the palace. And Joseph's journey is a breathtaking illustration of enduring hope. See, as a young man, God gave him prophetic dreams of influence and leadership. But what followed didn't look like anything like those dreams. His own brothers betrayed him and sold him into slavery. He served faithfully in Potiphar's house, only to be falsely accused and then thrown in prison. Year after year, Joseph faced hardship and injustice. 13 long years passed between the dream and its fulfillment. But through it all, Joseph never ever once let bitterness take root. He didn't abandon that hope. Even in prison, he remained faithful, interpreting dreams, serving others, and keeping his heart aligned with God. Eventually, in one miraculous day, Joseph was elevated from the dungeon to the palace, becoming the second in command over all of Egypt. See, Joseph's life teaches us that hope doesn't always bring instant results. Like, we always want instant. We always want instant. Sometimes it takes years. And that's hard, because we complain too much about having to wait, don't we? I do. I'm glad the days of dial-up internet are gone. Young people will never know the pain of dial-up internet. And then when somebody rings your house phone and somebody else answers it and you're kicked off, you don't know you were born. But when we remain steadfast, trusting that God is working behind the scenes, our darkest seasons can become the very soil where his promise grows. What looked like defeat was actually preparation for destiny. Then I think about Paul, who was singing in prison, and few images capture the power of supernatural hope like Paul and Silas in that prison in Philippi. See, after being falsely accused, beaten and thrown into a cold dark cell, they didn't respond in despair. Instead, Acts 16 tells us that around midnight, when most would be overwhelmed by fear or depression, what did they do? They didn't start to grumble or complain. They began to pray and they began to sing hymns to God. Why? Because their hope wasn't grounded in the comfort or safety that they found themselves in. It was rooted in heaven. That's where their hope was coming from. They knew that their God was with them. No matter what was happening around them, they knew that God was with them. See, their praise in the midst of pain was a declaration that circumstances never ever get the final word. God always gets the final word. And what happened as a result? Heaven responded, the prison shook, chains fell off, and the doors flew open. I wish I was there. What? Not only were they set free, but the jailer and his whole household were saved. Their hope didn't just deliver them. It became a testimony that changed people's lives. See, these stories remind us that biblical hope is more than wishful thinking. It is a confident, persistent trust in God's promises, even when the evidence might say otherwise. Whether you're waiting like Abraham, persevering like Joseph, or praising like Paul, let your hope be anchored in the character of God. Why? Because he never, ever fails. And the fourth thing I want to speak about this morning is the role of the Holy Spirit in sustaining hope in our lives. Romans 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that. That you might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we said already, hope is much more than just a feeling or this vague sense that things might somehow get better. True hope is a divine gift infused into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we can manufacture or try and make through effort or positive thinking. It's something that we receive always through faith and we maintain through living that relationship with the living God. The Apostle Paul's words in Romans 15:13 are so helpful. He prays not just for a little hope, but that he would overflow with hope. How does that happen? By the power of the Holy Spirit. This tells us that hope is not some sort of self-help strategy. It's supernatural work in our lives. The Holy Spirit plays a vital role in helping us sustain hope in every single season of our lives. See, whether you're facing uncertainty, walking through grief, or standing on a long-awaited promise, it's the Holy Spirit who keeps our hope alive and growing. See, the Holy Spirit reminds us of God's promises. John 14:26 says, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." See, when life becomes overwhelming, the Holy Spirit brings the Word of God back to our remembrance. He reminds us of what God has spoken, both in Scripture and also through our own personal revelation. The enemy tries to drown us in lies and discouragement, but the Holy Spirit gently and faithfully brings truth to the surface. He reminds us that we are not forgotten, not forsaken, and that God's promises still stand. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit strengthens us in our weakness. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness." See, there are moments when we don't even know how to pray. Moments when grief, fear, or exhaustion just simply take over. And in those times, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He lifts us up and gives us strength that goes beyond any human capacity. Hope is sustained not by how strong we are, but how strong He is within us. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit pours out God's love into our lives. Romans 5 verse 5 says, "God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." See, nothing sustains hope like the love of God. When we know that we are deeply loved by the Father, we can endure anything that life throws at us. The Holy Spirit pours that love in like a steady stream. It's not a trickle, it's a flood that washes over our hearts, silences our fears, our doubts, and our despairs. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is not just a theological concept. He is a present, powerful reality. He is our comforter, our guide, our strengthener, the one who fills us with joy and peace, even in life's most challenging moments. See, when we are filled with the Spirit, our hope becomes unshakable. Why? Because it's no longer based on our circumstances. It is rooted in God's power. So can I encourage you today, don't try and sustain hope in your own strength. Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh and let His presence cause you to overflow with hope today and every day. And then number five and lastly, hope is meant to be shared. Limitless hope isn't just for us. It's a light that we are meant to carry into the world. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Let me tell you, today people are hungry for something that's real, something that's eternal. Let me tell you, they've tried religion, they've tried politics, they've tried wealth, they've tried pleasure, and they've found them all to be lacking. I've tried all of them. But what they need is hope. They need living hope. They need Jesus. See, as Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, we can be hope bearers to a broken world. In your workplace, you can carry hope. In your family, you can speak hope over them. In your city, in your town, you can be a beacon of hope to those people around about you. See, at the end of the day, our hope isn't rooted in a concept, a philosophy, or even a feeling. Our hope is a person, Jesus. He is not only the foundation of our faith, but the living embodiment of our hope. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, this verse reminds us that the hope we carry isn't abstract. It's alive within us through Jesus. When we receive Jesus, we receive a hope that is eternal, a hope that is unshakable, a hope that is glorious today. Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise that God has ever made. He conquered death so we can have hope over the grave. He paid the price for our sins so that we can have hope for forgiveness. He rose again in victory so that we have hope in every single trial. He's coming back so we can have hope for the future. This hope is not temporary or conditional. It isn't based on circumstances, emotions, or the state of the world. It is rooted in the eternal, unchanging nature of Jesus. Like if you watch the news 24/7, like you would have hardly any hope. I remember when COVID first started and we were in lockdown, and you remember those days and we would be watching the news every day, watching every single briefing, every single thing, every single next slide, please. Like, we're watching all that stuff. And eventually, we realised, like, we kind of keep feeding our mind with this stuff. Like, our hope has been slowly but surely dwindled away. We had to shift our focus for the circumstances straight back onto Jesus. Like, it's going to get better. It's going to be better. Like, there's better times coming. But if we just kept on feeding our lives on what the media is saying, what the news is saying, what's happening in the world, man, our hope will be gone mega quick. And our hope isn't just for this life. It reaches far beyond. It's a hope that stretches into eternity, anchored in the promises that death is not the end and heaven is our true home. That's what makes our hope limitless. It doesn't expire with time or trial. In fact, it only grows stronger over time and in the trials. So if you're searching for hope, can I encourage you to look to Jesus? Because hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. Holding on to hope isn't always easy, especially when life feels overwhelming or uncertain. But hope isn't just a feeling. It's something that we can cultivate daily in our lives. So let me just give you some practical biblical ways to hold on to hope in every single season of your life. Firstly, can I encourage you, church, to speak the promises of God? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me tell you, what you speak has power. When you declare God's word out loud, you stir that faith within your spirit. Can I encourage you to start speaking life? Start speaking healing, start speaking provision, start speaking breakthrough. Like, you can easily speak death. The world is a mess. Why do you want to declare that? Speak life. The world's a mess, but Jesus is there to give me hope that it could be better. Like, I've been ill for months and months and months. I'm never going to get better. No, no. By his wounds, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Like, I want to speak healing over my body today. We're never going to get a building. It's far too expensive. We're never going to be able to do it. No, no, God, who could provide everything, can meet all our needs. Speak words of life and truth over our situations. Speak breakthrough. I'm going to be stuck in this cycle forever. Like, I'm never going to get over this situation. I'm going to be stuck here forever. Jesus, with your Holy Spirit working in through me, I can overcome this situation every single day. I can overcome this temptation, this fear, this lie, and I can walk in victory today. Change your language. Start speaking truth and hope over your life today. Let me tell you, instead of just repeating what the enemy says or what your emotions scream, declare what God has already said. By his stripes I am healed. My God will supply all my needs. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Can I encourage you, church? Let your lips line up with heaven. Surround yourself with hope-filled people. Let me tell you, hope thrives in the right environment. Find people who will lift you up, pray with you, and speak truth over your life. Choose community over isolation. See, the right voices will point you back to God's promises when you feel like giving up. Let me tell you, if you want to find people who will be negative and speak negative, you'll find them easy. You'll find them easy. And you can just wallow in your little group. In your little circle, you can just wallow there and be stuck there forever. Find a faith community that will speak life and hope into your situation and break the shackles and walk in victory. And it's easy when we get hurt or offended. I'm done. I'm just going to retreat into my cave. I'm just going to do this on my own. Never works. Never works. Surround yourself with hope-filled people to speak life into your situation today. Can I encourage you to live with eternity in mind? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Why? Because earth is not our final home. See, when we live with eternity in view, hope always rises naturally. When we remember that our trials are just temporary, but the glory ahead, oh, the glory that's ahead, that's eternal. Can I encourage you to keep worshipping through the waiting? See, sometimes God's promises take time, but don't let delay steal your praise. Let me remind you, worship is a weapon. Sing through the storm, praise through the pain. Why? Because the promise is on the way and God is always faithful. Always. Like, let me tell you, I cannot sing worth a jot. Like, Charlotte, who is a musician, who's really good, reminds me of that constantly. Like, I can't even clap in time. How I have a daughter who's a drummer, I have no idea. Like, I'm going to sing though. Amen. I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. Like, I'm going to be giving it loudly because I'm not really caring. Like, I'm not singing to the person next to me. I'm singing to Jesus. Like, I'm going to worship through that waiting time. That difficulty, I'm going to keep worshipping. I'm going to sing through the storm. I'm going to praise through the pain. Why? Because the promise is always on its way. And God is always faithful. And the band can come. Church, can I encourage you to hear me clearly in this? Let me remind you today that you are not forgotten. You are not forsaken. And you are definitely not finished yet. I don't really care what age you are. I don't really care what the doctor has spoken over you. Like, God's not finished with you yet. God has not finished with you yet. And I always say it, but if you're not dead, then God's not done working in your life. He's not. You're not finished yet. Absolutely no way. See, the same God who promised is the same God who fulfills. Your job is not how to figure out how and when it's going to happen. Your job is just simply to believe, to trust, and to hold on to those promises. Hebrews 6:19 says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. So can I encourage you today, church, to drop your anchor deep. Drop it deep in the promises of God. Don't let fear steal your future. Don't let doubt shake your foundation. We serve a limitless God who gives us limitless.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.